We are holding on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph by the Mishnah at the bottom. So, continuing with the dinim of Ashim Toluri, as we said, the Aruch HaNer suggests that what we had before about Ashim Toluri was more in order to complete the dinim of Chaylev, right. Seeing as how the common, a very common case of an Ashim Toluri is where a person is not sure whether he had Chaylev or not, and now we're getting to the primarily to the dinim of Ashim Toluri. Mishnah says, Rabbi Akiva Mechayev Asafik Me'ila Ashim Toluri. Rabbi Akiva says that if a person is not sure whether he committed Me'ila, now we know if a person does Me'ila for sure, then he has to, unlike he doesn't bring a chatas, Me'ila is not one of the things that's Chayev Karis, but he brings an Ashim instead. So Rabbi Akiva holds that in this case, no, only b'shergig, like most cases. There are cases where you bring an asham b'mezid. We learned earlier in the Masechta about the shifcha harufa, for example. Shavuos, we had a couple of examples where it is brought for mezid as well. But no, you have in the case of meila, it would only be b'shergig. B'mezid, as we'll learn on Amud Beis, the macholik b'sanoim, whether a person is chayv nisa b'dei shemayim or just malchus. Halacha is just malchus. But anyway, the point is that the shergig, he would be, if it was for sure, he would be bringing an osham rather than a chatas. Rabbi Akiva holds, if it's a suffix, he brings an osham toluri, just as if it was a suffix of chaylev or what have you. But Chachamim Poter, and the Chachamim say he's Poter, they say you only bring an osham toluri for something for which, if it was for sure, then you would be bringing a chatas.
Bring an osham toluri when it brings Chachamim?
In a case where had you done it, if it was a case where you knew for sure that you did it, then you'd be bringing a chatas. Then if you're not sure, you bring an Asham Talib. But in this case, you're not bringing a Chatas if you know for sure. You're bringing an Asham, therefore, yeah. Umoydir Rabbi Akiva Shein maybe if Me'ilah. Say, now Rabbi Akiva does agree that a person does not have to pay Hektish for the Me'ilah. He doesn't have to actually bring the money, Adshi Yisvadaloi, until he actually finds out for sure whether he actually had Hanah from Hektish. And then, Shiyavi Imei Asham Vadei. Then at that point, he'll bring the money together with an Asham Vadei. Okay. Amr of Tarfin, Malo that maybe Shte Ashamis. That Tarfin says, in that case, why does the guy have to bring two Ashamis? Why are you having him bring an Ashim Toluri, and then later on, if he finds out that he actually did it, you're making him bring an Ashim Vadei? Ella says, Rav Tarfin, you don't have to do that. Maybe Me'ila B'chumsha. All he should have to do is bring a Korban Me'ila. No, not the Korban. All he should have to do is pay for the Me'ila, pay for the actual value of what he used, B'chumsha, and bring the Chumash, like a regular case of Me'ila. So in other words, even though it's a suffix, make him, he should bring that money anyway. In particular, there's a Tosfos in Shabbos that talks about that Reb Tarfon holds that even if you're bringing an Ashim Toluri for this purpose, as a Chumim say against Reb Akiva, then you do have to bring the money with it. Reb Akiva is saying that you only have to bring the money when you bring the Ashim Vadei, therefore you can bring the Ashim Toluri without it. Reb Tarfon would hold that as soon as you bring the Ashim, you have to have the money with it. So in that case, you bring the money. Well, in this case, one second. You have the Ashim b'shtei Sloim. Then he brings an animal, a ram for an Ashim, which is worth two Sloim, the Yomer, and then let him make it tonight. Im Vadei Ma'alti, if I definitely committed Me'ila, Zu Me'ilasi, then this should be my korban for my Me'ila, Vizu Ashami, and this should be the Asher, no, not the korban, sorry, this should be the payment for the Me'ila, Vizu Ashami, this will be the animal for the Asham, Vim Safik Ma'alti, if it was only a Safik, if he's not sure whether he actually committed Me'ila, Hamois Nedava, then the money should go to Nedava, which as we've learned before means that it'll be used to buy Korbanos Ova, for times when Korbanos aren't being brought. But Ashim Toluri, and the korban will be an Ashim Toluri. Why does that work? Says Rav Tarfon, Shem Minshu, maybe Al Hoda, maybe Al Lo Hoda. It's exactly the same kind of animal that you bring for an Ashim, whether it's Vadei Me'ila, Shogig, or whether it's Sofik Me'ila. So therefore, he says, you might as well. You bring the one animal, and then you make it, hello? You bring the one animal, and you make a T'nai on it. However, Rav Tarfon also holds, though, as, well, in second, Rav Akiva is arguing with that. You don't have Chachamim. You have Reb Tarfon and you have Reb Akiva. So in other words, again, Reb Tarfon is saying that when you bring the Ashim, you have to bring the money with it. Therefore, there's no way that we can say that you're bringing an Ashim Toluri and at some later point you'll bring the money. The halacha is that you can't bring the Ashim before the money is paid to Hekdesh. For the Me'ila. So therefore, he says that in this case, instead of him bringing two Ashamos, which anyway, in order to bring the first one, he's going to have to bring the money, he can just bring one and make it tonight. Amar Rabbi Akiva, however, Rabbi Akiva says that, Nirin Dvarav V'Me'ila Me'uta, okay, what you're saying makes sense seems logical if it was a small amount of Me'ilah, then you could argue that then you could argue he might as well pay off the Me'ilah and bring one animal, because then he gains that way. Like this, if he had to bring two animals, if he had to bring two karbanos, and each one is worth two slayim, and he's going to have to be spending quite a bit of money because of this Me'ilah. So fine, if it was a smaller amount, then yeah, it makes sense. Bring one karban, make a tanai, and pay off your Me'ilah, your suffix Me'ilah. Hareshi yava yava suffix Me'ilah, but mayam mona. But, says Rabbi Akiva, what about if you have a suffix of Me'ilah involving 100 mona? So why no. The carbon is always worth always the same anyway. But the point is that you don't have to pay the Me'ilah twice. You don't have to pay the Me'ilah twice. No. You don't have to pay the Me'ilah twice. You have to bring the carbon twice, says your No, but the carbon itself is only worth 2 slayim, which is a lot less than 100 money. But the point is, in other words, that according to the way Rav Tarfon is saying it, it comes out you're going to have to pay the you're in order to be able to bring any carbon, even an Asham Talui, you're going to have to pay off the money to Hekdesh. Well, if it was 100 money, that's a lot of money out of pocket. Lo Yafilosh Yavi Asham B'Shtei Slayim, isn't the person better off having to bring an Asham Talui for 2 Slayim, Lo Yavi Safik Me'ilah B'Meyam Mona, rather than having to pay on the spot 100 money for a Safik Me'ilah? In other words, Rabbi Akiva is saying, look, we don't know for sure the guy committed Me'ilah. The whole point is it's a suffix. So therefore, your method of tariffing, fine, saves him on the saves him 2 slayim on the value of a carbon. But on the other hand, it means that he has to spend 100 money to pay off the Me'ilah, or 100 plus more, because plus Chaymash, whatever. My way of doing it, says Rabbi Akiva, is right now you're bringing an Asham Tolu. So right now you're only on the hook for 2 slayim. If at some later point you find out that you did Me'ilah, then you'll be on the hook for the 100 money. Fine, but meanwhile you save. So,
you save, you don't know.
In other words, therefore we save. In other words, therefore you don't have to give it to Hekdesh, right? So Rabbi Akiva would agree with Rabbi Tarfon, therefore it's a small amount of Me'ilah that use Rabbi Tarfon's method and bring one carbon and make a snack.
Oh, my friend.
So what happens if he finds out the date is small and he finds out that nothing, it never happened?
Well, then, okay, so he's out 2 slayim, fine, but he's out 2 slayim, but it's still better off than having to definitely pay 100 mana when it's only a suffix whether he actually did it. Okay, so more sort of, what's the machlokas over here? Turn it up on him, be'im nefesh. The pasuk says, ve'im nefesh. So you have like this, the pasuk describes the pasuk describes about the dinim of asham me'ilos, and then the next section over there, this is towards the end of Parashas Vayikra, the next section begins Ve'im Nefesh and talks about the case of Asham Tolu. So from the words Ve'im Nefesh, and we'll see soon, the Gemara is going to explain how exactly we learn from those words, L'chayev al-Safik Me'ilas Asham Tolu, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says that is where we get that a person has to bring an Asham Tolu for a suffix of Me'ilah, because they're tied together. So you have the section on Me'ilah, and you have the section on Asham Tolu back-to-back, and they're tied together with the words Ve'im Nefesh, as we'll see soon what that means. The Chum and Poitrim, the Chum say Poitrim, because again, they say you only bring an Asham Tolu, where if it was a Vadai, then you'd be bringing a Chafas. Here, it's a Vadai, you bring an Asham. Therefore, it's a different category. It's a suffix, but had it been a vada, you'd be bringing an asham.
Right.
As opposed to, for example, chaylev or dam or rarayas or whatever. If it was vada, then the person is bringing a chafas.
So chaim say only.
Only if it's vada chafas, so you're bringing an asham toler on a suffix. But if it's vada asham, then right.
You don't bring anything.
Right. So the Gemara says lema b'chacham. Should we say then the machlokas between the chachamim and Rabbi Akiva is on the following point: that Rabbi Akiva saw the maiden elyon mitachton. Rabbi Akiva is going to say that we learn the earlier section from the later one, meaning the earlier section is the one on Me'ilah. The later one is Asham Tolu. And it sounds like Rabbi Akiva is saying we learn something about the earlier case, about Me'ilah, from the later case, Asham Tolu. Therefore, he's saying Asham Tolu applies to the previous case of Me'ilah. Rabbanan Savri ain't lemeid in Elyon Mitachton, whereas Rabbanan would disagree.
Tachton
means further down. Amar Apapa. So Apapa says, no, not necessarily. The Kula Amar lemeid in Elyon Mitachton. We have to say... Right. We have to say that everybody learns Elyon from Tachton, the Im Kain, because if you were going to say that that's the subject of Machlokes, Sofen with Ben Bokal and Ashkachasu. We have like this. At the beginning of Parashas Vayikra, the Torah tells us about bringing a carbon oila. The Torah tells us the various kinds of animals that can be brought as an oila. If a person brings an ox as a carbon oila, then if a person brings a sheep or a goat, only when it comes to the sheep does it first mention the concept that it has to be shechted on the north side of the mizbeach. By the Ben Bokar, it doesn't say that. So where do we know that a carbon oila from Bakar has to be checked on the north? That's the case of Yomat Elyon Mitachton. Since by the Tachton, by the sheep, it says that you bring it in the north. We say the Pasuk every day in davening. That's the Tachton. We're learning the Elyon from it. So we have to learn Elyon from Tachton. Otherwise, the Chachamim would have to say. Otherwise, once we have something, once we have a kind of limud in one case, then it applies to others. Rather, we have to say the reason why the Rabbanon over here argue with Rabbi Akiva, not because they don't hold about Tachton and Elyon, the Patri, why are they Patriing him from an Oshem Tali? The reason is the Gemiri mitzvot mechatas, because they make Zera Shava on the word mitzvot from the din of a chatas. Here it's by Oshem Tali, it says, V'os ta'achas mikol mitzvot Hashem, and by chatas also it says a similar expression. Ma lahalam dover shachayavin al zonei kores v'asher gzotei chatas. Just like in the case, when is a person chayav a chatas, the kind of thing where if it was b'mezid, he's chayav kores, and the shogig is bringing a chatas, v'al sveik v'oshem Tali, and if it's a sopik, then he brings an Oshem Tali. Af kol shachayavin al zonei kores v'al sveik v'chatas, v'al shogig v'asher Oshem Tali. So the same thing. So to bring an Oshem Tali, it has to be something that b'mezid would be kores, and the sopik, you bring a chatas. La puki meila, or not fake, rather for shigigose, rather chatas, yeah. La puki meila, as opposed to meila, is not like that. The in chayav and al zorne koris. The person is not chayav koris for doing meila b'mezid. The Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, what is the punishment for meila b'mezid? Hizid b'meila, Rebbe omer b'mitha. Rebbe says the person is chayav mitha b'de shamayim. Because he learns it from the Gemara explains in Sanhedrin that he learns it from Truma. He learns it by Zera Shava from Truma, and therefore Truma person eats Truma, he's Chayiv Mitzvah B'Deshamayim. So therefore the same. That's a different matter. The Chachamim and Azhara, the Chachamim say that no, a person commits Me'ilah B'Mezid. There's only an Azhara, there's only a Lam. So therefore, but everybody agrees there's no kares in it. So therefore, the Chachamim say once we have the Gzeira Shavah mitzvot, then that means there's no chatas by it either, because there's only a chatas where Rebezit will be chayav kares, and Me'ila is not like that. Ver Rebbe Akiva Sover. Now, what does Rebbe Akiva answer to that? He says ki yalfin and mitzvot mechatas chelev. You're right. Of course, we have the Gzeira Shavah mitzvot, and we learn from chatas chelev, but we're not learning as far as the actual fact that you bring the chatas versus a different kind of carbon, lahochi hu diyalfinan. Rather, Rabbi Akiva says, we're learning it as far as this. Ma lahalan b'kavua, afkan b'kavua. When it comes to chelev or anything else, that's zernei koris, a person is bringing always a fixed kind of carbon. He's always bringing a female sheep or a female goat. For chelev or for most of the other chayvei krisis, afkan b'kavua, and the person is bringing an oshem tolu if it was a suffix. We learn from that, therefore, that every other case where a person brings an oshem tolu would be a case where if it was a vaday that he did the thing b'shogeg, he would be bringing a fixed kind of carbon. La puki ola v'yored jaloi. So he says all it comes is the chachamim argument comes to exclude any case where a person is bringing an oshem. Or any case where a person is not chayav kares. Rebbe Akiva says we're not taking out things that are not chayav kares. We're taking out things where there is kares, but there's a carbon oil of a yorin, or where there's not. Some of the things involving the carbon oil of a yorin involve kares, tumas mitzvah kodesh, yes, shmias kol and vitris fasayim not. So those we're learning that there's no oshem tolui if there was a suffix in any of those. There's a suffix in Tumas Mitzvah Shekodshav. The person is not bringing an Oshem Tali. There's a suffix, whether he's Oyvan or Shavuos Bitri, he's not bringing an Oshem Tali. But as long as... that's what he's saying. That's what we're learning from the Gzeira Shavah. You, Chachamim, are saying the Gzeira Shavah teaches us that in order to be Chayiv an Oshem Tali, it has to be something where if it was B'mezid, it's Kores, and B'shogeg, it's Chachos. Rabbi Akiva would say, it doesn't necessarily have to be b'mezid kores and b'shogeg chatas. It just has to be that you'd be bringing a fixed carbon as opposed to a carbon oil of the earth, which varies in value depending on how much the person can afford. So therefore, he would say that since me'ilah b'shogeg, a person is bringing an osham, then Rabbi Akiva says, I don't care that it's not chayav kores. There's a fixed kind of carbon for me'ilah b'shogeg. It's always an osham. Therefore, it can be included over here that therefore we're learning from the Gzeira Shavah that now instead of the fixed carbon, which happens to be in this case an Oshem, instead you're bringing an Oshem Tali. Okay. V'rabbanan Savri, what are the Rabbanan answer to that? They say, yes, okay, but ain't Gzeira Shavah l'mechze. Okay, but you can't use a Gzeira Shavah for only half of something. If you're learning a Gzeira Shavah from chaylev to other from if you're learning a zera shava from chaylev to other mitzvahs, then it has to be that there's similar across the board. Not just that there's a fixed kind of carbon, but also that there's kares and also that there's a chatas. Not that there's some kind of fixed carbon and it could be a different type of carbon, namely an ashram, and that there's not necessarily kares.
You have to apply.
It has to be everything. It has to be all the criteria are the same. So the question is, the father, Rabbi Akiva, suffer yesh gzeira shovel amechta. So what are you telling me? Rabbi Akiva holds you can use a gzeira shovel only halfway. We know that's not. Everybody agrees. In fact, Shitim HaKobesis adds in the Gemara over here a line. Hakayim alonde in gzeira shovel amechta. We know for a fact that a gzeira shovel doesn't work that way. You don't just learn half of the...
You don't believe
that Rabbi Akiva believes that right. He can. Now, rather, we're going to say everybody agrees in gzeira shovel amechta. So why does Rabbi Akiva say then that a person is bringing an Asham Tali for a Safek of Mehila? The reason is the Amakra Ve'im Nefesh, because the Pasuk starts off, the part about Asham Tali, it starts with Ve'im Nefesh, and if a person, Vav Moisif Al Inyan Rish, and that teaches us that the Vav adds to the earlier topic, V'yalamid Elyon Mitachtan, therefore the earlier one, which is Mehila, can learn from the later one, which is Asham Tali, because they're tied together with the Vav. The Rabbanon Savri, whereas the Rabbanon hold the other way around. What are we doing with the Vav? Savri, they hold the other way around. Tachten hu digamim elyon. They say the Vav teaches us the opposite. The later case of Asham Tolui learns from the previous one of Me'ila, La'asham b'kesef shkolim. Namely, they have to learn from that. They have to use that to learn that the Asham Tolui has to be worth at least two slayim. Because otherwise, the positive doesn't spell out. It just says that a person, for an Asham Tali, has to bring a ram. It doesn't say anything about two Svayim. How do we know it has to be worth two Svayim? That we learn, for using the Vav, we learn, just like by Me'ila, the positive spells out that it has to be worth two Svayim. The same way, by Asham Tali, which is the next case, it has to be worth two Svayim.
It's possible that a ram should be cheaper than...
It can. And in fact, we have a Gemara someplace. I don't remember where now. Maybe we had it. I don't think we had it in Tamura, but I don't remember. The Gemara discusses someplace or other. What happens if all the rams that are available are worth less than two slayim? Well, then you can't do anything. You have to wait until you can find one that you buy for two slayim. And only then, until then, it's the equivalent of it having a mum, or it's the equivalent of it being underage or whatever. I suppose so. But, you know, prices do sometimes go up and down. So, yeah. Okay.
So
Rabbi Akiva would say that the Tachton is learning from the Elyon, that just like he says the Elyon is learning from the Tachton, just like the Tachton you bring an Asham Tali, so the Elyon is bringing an Asham Tali for Safik Me'ila. The Chachamim say the other way around, we're learning from Me'ila, where it says two Sloyim, we're learning from that, two Asham Tali, that Asham Tali, if we were two Sloyim. Okay,
and not the reverse.
So Rabbi Akiva Sava ain't a hekesh lemechta. Rabbi Akiva is going to answer to that. Okay, but you also can't use a hekesh for only half of something. If you're going
to
use a hekesh,
so actually
Rashi takes out these words because Rashi argues that's not the definition of hekesh lemechta. Hekesh lemechta would mean if you're learning only one thing from the hekesh. From in one direction rather than learning all the dinim. If you were to say, for example, by Asham Ne'ilas, it says it has to be two Sloyim, and let's say it said some other detail as well, which it didn't say by Asham Tali, and you're going to learn only one of those details, that would be Hekesh Lemachta. But here where you're talking about directionality, then no, it's not called a Hekesh Lemachta.
You can have only one direction.
Yeah. Right. So
it has to be full quantity.
Right. So Rashi takes that out. That's okay. So the great question is the cloud that Rabbanon Savri Yesh Hekesh Lemechta. So what do you mean? And that Rabbanon do hold as a Hekesh Lemechta? V'chaim lo ein Hekesh Lemechta. We know for a fact that there's no Hekesh Lemechta yet. You know, dekulei alma ein Hekesh Lemechta. Everybody agrees that there's no Hekesh Lemechta. V'hocha ha'in time of the Rabbanon. Rather, why did the Rabbanon say that we're not bringing an Asham Tali for Safek Me'ila, digmiri mitzvah apke me'akesha. They say, okay, we have a Hekesh, but on the other hand, we have the Gzeira Shava mitzvah, which teaches us that to bring an Asham Tali, it has to be similar to Chelev. And therefore, again, Chelev is Chayev Kares b'mezid and a Chathos b'sherig. Therefore, any other case, you have a Hekesh over here, but mitzvah takes off something of that Hekesh. So it takes off something of it. So therefore, in other words, you have the hekesh, but you have the hekesh, and if you didn't have the gzeira shava mitzvah, you would do the hekesh in both directions, and you would say, therefore, that each, both of them have to be true Sloyim, and that you do bring an Ashram Toli from Eila, but the Gzera Shava, Mitzvah, takes off some of that and says it only applies. You can't. You can't apply it in the second direction because the Eila is not Chayiv Kares. Okay.
Rabbi Akiva
Ashram Bekesef Shkolim Nafilei. So where does Rabbi Akiva learn that an Ashram has to be worth two Shkolim? He says, Shkolim and Sloim, they're called Shkolim in Torah terminology, in the Chachamim terminology, it's called Sloim. What it is, in the times of the Torah, you had two kinds of shekel. You have the regular shekel, and you have the shekel HaKodesh, which was double the rate and double the value. In the times of the Chachamim, the Shekel HaKodesh became instead a coin called a Sela. We learned in Bechodesh, and we learned in various places that the Chachamim increased the rate of it by 20%. So it became equal to a coin that at that time was called a Sela. Therefore, the word Shekel came to be used for a half of a Sela, which was more or less the equivalent of the plain Shekel from the times of Chumash. And what was called, what's called in the Torah, Shekel HaKodesh, is called in the Chachamim's terminology a Sela.
And they increased it because?
They increased it because we learned the Pesukim in Yechezkel that said that imply that it was increased, and the Chachamim have the right to do that. The Chachamim have the right to increase the sizes of the various measurements and to increase the size of the coinage or whatever by up to 20%.
So what was the reason?
I don't know what the reason was. They decided that's the appropriate thing to do. Maybe because there were currencies from the local governments at that time that were equal to that. I don't know, whatever it is. Anyway. Okay, so where is Rabbi Akiva learning that an Ashram Toleri has to be worth at least two Sloim? If he's not using the Hekesh for that purpose. So the answer is Nachkulim, he's those Torah for Ashram. He learns it from a pasuk in Parashat Tzav that says this is the Torah of the Ashram, meaning Torah Achas L'chol HaAshamis. It means there's one rule for all Ashramis, meaning therefore, L'Ashram Bebekesef Shalom. So from there we learn that the Ashram Toleri has to be of two Sloim because it's a type of Ashram. Now, mind you, there are a couple of types of Ashram which don't have that rule, but there the Torah spells out by them that they're a different type of Ashram. The Ashram Nozir and the Ashram Metzorda, the Torah spells out, I don't know why, but the fact is the Torah spells out by them that there were sheep within its first year. So therefore it's different than an Ayil. You have four out of the six kinds of Ashram, you have four of them where the Torah says Ayil, and all of those have to be worth two Sloyim. The Ashram Zelos, Ashram Ne'ilos, Ashram Shivcha Harufa, and Ashram Toloi.
We say in the morning.
And the other two, Ashram and Ashram Nazar and Ashram the third, are different categories. Okay.
And they're worth how much?
They can be worth the pastor's any amount. They have to be sheep under a year old, so that's a different price. Okay. Fine. Rabbanan, so what are the Rabbanan answer to that? What are they? We have the positive Zos Teres Ashram, so what do we mean in Hekesh? They say, Afagab Dichtiv Zos Teres Ashram. Sure, but even though it says Zos Teres Ashram, Ichtuch Lemichta Vim Nefesh, we still need the Vim Nefesh, which again, Rabbi Akiva is using the Vim Nefesh to learn that you bring an Ashram Toli for Suffolk Me'ila, because you're Lamed Elyon Mitachin, but the Chachamim who are using it the other way to say that it teaches us that it has to be Kesef Shalim, so why if we have Zos Teres Ashram? The answer is like this. So you need both. You need Zoris Tashem, Zoris Teres Tashem. Istrich l'michta v'im nefesh. You still need the Pasuk v'im nefesh. Vav moisif al inyan rishin. That the Vav adds to the first inyan, v'ilamid elit taft in the elyon, so that the second one will learn from the first one. Because they say like this, v'imi Zoris Teres Tashem. If we only had the Pasuk Zoris Teres Tashem, have amini, you would think like this. Ki amina Torah achas afal ashamos. You know when you say there's one rule for all ashamos, hanimi l'bishar ashamos v'adoin. Sure, that applies to other ashamos, which a person is bringing for something that he definitely did. Asham zelos, asham meilos, aval asham toleri, kiven da'al sofet chelim ka. See, the whole point is an asham toleri, you're only bringing for the sofet. Eim alo yehe sveke chomim vadoi. You could argue that the sofet shouldn't be stronger than the vadai. Now, what would happen? Ma vadoi. Well, one second. Ma vadoi. Now, what would happen if a person definitely ate chelev? Chatas bas danka. He brings a chatas, which is a female sheep or a female goat under a year old, and it can be worth even a danka. A danka is a ma'a, which is 1/6 of a dinner, 1/24 of a seller. So it can be very, very cheap. In those days, the certain animals were cheap. So you would think then when it comes to an Ashram Toleri, it's a suffix whether the person ate chalev. It shouldn't be stronger than that. He should also be able to bring an Ashram that is worth only a danko, only a ma. A 24th of a seller. Ahachi Kosa Rahmana Vi'im Nefesh. Therefore, the Torah writes Vi'im Nefesh Vav Moisif Al Inyan Rishon, and to teach us that it adds to the first one that we learned the later one from the earlier one. So just like by Me'ilah, the Torah spells out that it's Kesef Shkolim, that has to be two Svayim, so also by the Oshem Toloi, it has to be worth that much. Ah, Yukav HaChomer, well, that's what the Vav is for. The Vav is telling you just
a small animal automatically is going to be cheaper.
Right, that's the point. So you would think that if a person definitely ate chaylev, he can bring a small, cheap animal. So therefore, if it's only a suffix he ate chaylev, he should also be able to. So no, the Pasuk is telling us that no, an Oshem Toloi has to be worth more. Which actually, yes, I was mentioning the other day.
As much as a regular Oshem?
Yeah, as much as a regular Oshem. And in fact, you have a verse that's brought from Rabbeinu Yoinah, and I think from the Ramban and others, that says that's the idea. When the person did the Aveda for sure, he feels bad about it, that he really wants to do tshuva. Therefore, even a cheap korban, he'll be yoisa. As opposed to when he has a suffix. Okay, it was a suffix, maybe I did it, maybe I didn't, I'll start rationalizing, I don't really have to do tshuva, so therefore the Torah imposes a more expensive korban on him. And actually, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, it's brought in Hilchot the Ramah, I think, brings in Hilchot in the Halachos of Yom Kippur, in Aruch Chaim, that a person needs to do more tshuva for the suffix Averis and for the Vade Averis, for that reason, because of the suffix, a person is more likely to rationalize. Anyway, so that's the point the Chachamim say, that's why you need both. You need Zos Torah for Oshem to teach us they have the same rule. That tells us about all the Ashamis the person is bringing for a Vaday. And then you need, in addition, you need to tell us also the same is true for an Oshem Toloi. Okay.
Why did you say Zos Torah for Oshem applies to the Vaday and the Toloi?
Because you wouldn't know. You would think that the Toloi shouldn't be stronger than the Vaday, no?
But if the Torah says Zos Torah for Oshem,
then you would think that applies to all the Ashamis that are brought for something Vaday, where he definitely ate Chela. For all the Ashamis, we did something definite. He definitely did Me'ilah. He definitely did... He definitely was over on Shavuos HaPikadon, not Shavuos HaPikadon, whatever, he denied HaPikadon, whatever, Hashem Zelos, Hashem Me'ilos, Hashem Shefa Harofa, so then you would say that those all have to be expensive. You wouldn't know an Oshem Toloi, which is only work for a suffix. So the question is, Honichal Amanda Dorish Zos Torah Asham. Okay, this is all good according to the opinion that learns from Zos Torah Asham and learns from the word Torah, so that means there's one Torah for everything. El Mandaloy Dorish Zos Torah Asham, but you have an opinion. I don't remember, but we had them at the beginning of Menachos. At the beginning of Menachos, we had an opinion that said that you don't learn such a thing from Zos Torah Asham. So according to that opinion, my equal neighbor, then what are you going to say? Then you need the Hekish to then Rabbi Akiva is going to need the Hekish to teach us the Asham the Kess of Shkolim. The answer is Yalef Be'erkecha Be'erkecha Me'Asham Me'ilah. The answer is he'll learn by Gzeir Shava on the word Be'erkecha. So by it says that by Asham Me'ilah. It says that also by Asham Toloi. So therefore we can make Gzeir Shava and learn that way without needing the Vav. Therefore Rabbi Akiva has the Vav available to teach us that you bring an Asham Toloi for Sopik Me'ilah. So that would teach us about the other. That would teach us the price, and that would teach us yeah. Right. Okay. What about shif asham shif chacharufa the loy ksib kosev ba'erkecha? What about an asham shif chacharufa? It doesn't say the word ba'erkecha over there. How do we know it also has to be worth two slaim? The answer is yafin and ba'ayil ayil. The answer is we have a difference there, Shala. It says the word ayil. It says the word ayil by the shif chacharufa and by the asham ne'ilos. That and therefore we can learn by Gzeir Shava that it also has to be worth two slaim.
The first ayil is what?
One is by Asham Me'ilos, and the other one is by Asham Shifcha Harofa. By both of them, it says by Asham Me'ilos, it says two slaim. So therefore, yeah. Then
and
fine. So the bottom line is that that's your Bakiva has his opinion that you bring an Oshem Toloi for a Safik Me'ilah, the Chachamim disagree, the Halacha is like the Chachamim. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Moedah Rabbi Akiva, so then we had the discussion in the Mishnah between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, what about if it was a large Me'ilah, then why you're making him bring first an oath, you're making him bring the money right there on the spot together with his Oshem, isn't it better, and when he doesn't even know if he committed Me'ilah, he'd be better off bringing one animal for an Oshem Toloi and later on possibly bringing another one together with the money for an Oshem Vaday. A large amount, yeah, whatever it is he used was very expensive, yeah.
Whatever he was,
Marlon, right.
Was a big
expense. Right.
100 miles.
Yeah. So so we said in the Mishnah, so we're not really focusing on that part of the Mishnah. We're focusing on earlier in the Mishnah where the Tarfon says, that the person is able to bring one asham and make a tnai. He can say, if I definitely committed me'ilah, then here's the money for the me'ilah to pay off hektish, and here's the korban asham for the me'ilah. And if not, when Rabbi Akiva disagrees, and if it was a sofik, if it was a sofik of me'ilah, then the money should be nedava, and the asham will be an asham tali.
But he's actually checked.
Well, that's it. No, because either way, because you can bring an Asham Tali. Again, this is following, this is within Rabbi Akiva's opinion that you bring an Asham Tali for Safek Me'ilah. The Chachamim would disagree. No, the Nedava would be the value of what
the
he
value
is,
of
the value. No, the value of the Me'ilah. The Me'ilah, right. And then, it would be 1,000 Nas. And then the Asham would be, yeah. Okay. So the point is, okay, the question is, what do we mean in the mission of the Im Safek Mai Karma? What do you mean, and if it's a Safek? We're talking about it's a case of suffix. So why is he saying in the Tanai, if I did Vade Me'ila versus if I did suffix Me'ila, he should be saying if I did Vade Me'ila versus if I didn't do Me'ila. The answer is, Omar Rabbi Tony, in Bisfeka, Omid La'olam, what the Mishnah means is, if he's saying, or it doesn't even have to be he's saying, some of the Mepharshim say that the whole Tanai in the Mishnah doesn't have to be something that he's saying necessarily, it could be something that we are saying on his behalf, basically. In Bisfeka, Omid La'olam, if he ends up remaining forever in a Suffolk, he never does find out whether he actually committed Me'ilah. Okay, then yeah, hey, Asham Tali, it remains an
it
remains.
Waiting for the rest of his life.
Yeah, it could be. That could be for the rest of his life. He doesn't know, but fine. Lo'olam. Yeah, hey, Asham Tali, it remains an Asham Tali. And the reason is, the Mishnah said, the reason why Rav Tarfon says such a thing works, we said, after all, it's the same type of animal for a korban. In both cases, it's a ram, and it's at least two sloyim. So the question is, the question is though, soif, but after all, ki misyada lay, when he finds out, suppose he finds out he actually committed me'ilah, boili suya asham vade. At that point, won't he have to bring an asham vade? Don't you need that, when it comes to a chatas, when you have a case where a person brought an asham tali, for example, for a suffix of chalev, when he actually finds out that what he ate was chalev, then he's bringing a chatas. We assume the same thing would be true of an asham. Why do we say he could get away with one animal and make a tnai on it? The answer is Omar Rav Medivish Shneim Nomad. Well, then, from what both Rav Akiva and Rav Tarfon are saying, given Rav Tarfon says his rule always, no matter what the size of the meal was, one second, and Rav Akiva agrees with Rav Tarfon when it comes to a small amount of meal, we can see from that, Osham Vadai Leiboy Yadila Chachila. That, it does, with an Osham Vadai, it doesn't require that he knew to begin with that what he did was Osir. So therefore, when he brought it on a Tanai, yes, it will count as an Osham Vadai. Unlike a Chatas and an Osham, after all, are two Karbanas. So therefore, you can't bring an Asham Tolui, and later on he finds out, and the Asham will also cover him. He needs to bring a separate carbon. But when it comes to an Asham, that Rav is saying, Rav Tarfon and Rav Akiva apparently both hold that yes, you can do that. It doesn't require you need a new yediyah that he actually committed me'ilah. But you don't need a new, you know, that new yediyah does not make it required that he should. It's okay that he brought it to begin with al tnai, and it works now retroactively as a vabin. They only argue, well, they're not even arguing about a chatas. They're arguing about a case of a larger size me'ilah.
A larger size.
Now, we're going to see in the next Mishnah that not everybody agrees with Rav Tarfon and Rav Akiva on that. We're going to have an opinion. In our Mishnah, we're going to have Rav Shimon, who implicitly holds that you can't do that. You can't say that you brought an Asham Tolu, and it can count also where necessary is an Asham Vada. Okay, so let's start the next Mishnah. Mishnah says, so
if
now,
comes four in the meantime,
what does one have to do with the other? An Asham is always the same size animal anyway.
But he doesn't have the money up.
Then
he
has to win. So what happens if a person doesn't have the money and he owes somebody money that he borrowed, or he owes taxes or whatever, he has to raise the money somehow or other. So it's the same thing with him. So the Mishnah says, let's talk about some other cases where a person, let's start by talking about another case where you could be bringing a korban for a suffix and later on it could turn out to be vadai. A woman who had a suffix, whether she gave birth to something or miscarried or whatever, something that would make her chayev in a korban or not, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. So she brings an oila and a chatas. And she, in the case of the oila, it's not a big deal, because an oila you can bring in a java. The chatas, we said, is a special thing that she can bring a chatas ha'oif haba ala suffik, even though you normally don't bring a korban for a suffik. That's a special case, because otherwise she's never going to be able to eat truma and kodshim. So suppose she brought a chatas ha'oif, And later on, it turns out that she actually did give birth to something that never miscarried, something that makes her chayav in a carbon. So, im ad shalem nimlika noida losha yolda, if before the melika on the bird was done, she finds out that what she gave birth to was actually something that makes her chayav in a carbon, she yolda vada, that she gave birth to something that's definitively something that makes her chayav, tasena vada, then good. They can continue bringing the carbon as a vada. The kohen can now do the melika as like usual, and now they'll be able to eat it. You know, the kohenim will be able to eat it like any other chatas. And the reason is the same thing as in the previous Mishnah. Because after all, it's the same kind of korban. Either way, it's a bird that she's bringing for a chatas, whether it's a vada, whether it's a suffix. So therefore, the same bird now, until they did the melika, can count for both.
She's bringing a bird because she can afford the animal.
Well, in the case of a yeledes, she's always her oila would be an animal if she can afford it, and a bird if not. Her chatas is always a bird. So that's the idea. Tosfos discusses over here that maybe technically even it would be allowed even if it was after the melita. Maybe it's only because of a gzera that we would do that, not because we don't want people to think that you can eat a chatas if a baal is suffix. Anyway, but if she discovers that before the melika, that she actually, what she miscarried or gave birth to is actually a baby that makes her chayiv and a korban, then good. The korban is now transformed from a suffix into a vada. Okay. Now let's talk about some cases involving an oshem tolui versus a chatas.
And if she discovers it afterwards?
Then it's too late. It was already too late. She doesn't necessarily have to bring another one. I don't know if she has to bring another one actually, but the point is you can't eat this one because it was chatasayif abal asafik, and it might have been cholin ba'azora, and it might have been that melika was done, and it's not a korban, and it's neveva.
So the korban
can't eat it.
We
learned at the end of Tomorrow what happens. The chacham say it has to be burnt. Rabbi Yehuda says you break it up into pieces and throw it into the water channel. Yeah. Okay. Now let's talk about a person had in front of him a piece of chulin meat and a piece of kodshim meat. So if he ate one of them and he doesn't know which one, potter. So he's potter from an oshem tolui because, like the Chacham said in the previous Mishnah, that's an issue of me'ilah, and a person doesn't bring an oshem tolui for a suffix me'ilah. Rabbi Akiva would make him chayev, again, for the same reason as in the previous Mishnah. He says you do bring an oshem tolui for a suffix me'ilah. What happens now if he ate the second one? So now, no matter how you look at it, he definitely ate the one of Kodshim. So he definitely committed Mela. Maybe Oshem Vada. At that point, he's bringing an Oshem Vada for the Mela. Now, what if one person ate the first piece? And another one person came and ate the second piece. We don't know which one is which. So again, Rabbi Akiva is going to say each one has to bring an Oshem Tolui because each one of them has a suffix of Mela. Reb Shimon says the two of them can bring one Oshem in partnership. They can say, in other words, because no matter what, one of them ate the Kodshim. So Reuben will say to Shimon that if you ate the piece of Kodshim, then I'm handing over my portion in this korban to you, and it'll be all your korban, and vice versa. Yeah. Reb Yossi says you can't have two people bring together one Oshem. He doesn't hold that you can make a tenai like that. So he would say, there are certain korbanos, as we're going to learn at the end of the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yossi would say you could bring b'shurkos, but not a chatas or an oshem, which is being brought because of an avera, which in this case is an avera.
It cannot be a shurkos in any kind of avera.
Right. So therefore, he would say that if we hold like the chachamim, then they're not bringing anything because it's only a suffix of me'ilah. And if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, then each one is bringing an oshem tolui. Yeah, but we don't know which one. And the chacham said in the previous Mishnah, that's suffix me'ilah. You don't bring an oshem tolui because of zera shava. And yeah. Another case: chatichas chaylev chatichas cholin. If they have in front of them a piece of chaylev and a piece of cholin, unlike in the previous case where it was a question of did they commit me'ilah or not, here was a question of did they commit something that makes them chayv achatas or not. If he ate one of them, he doesn't know which one, maybe oshem tolui. Classic case of oshem tolui, shtei chatichas, as we learned in the previous parak. Ochal sashniya, maybe chatas. If he ate the second one as well, then he brings a chatas, because no matter what, he definitely ate the chaylev. If one person ate the first one, another one came and ate the second one, then maybe Ashim Tolui, but then maybe Ashim Tolui, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Again, Rabbi Akiva is going to say that each one brings an Ashim Tolui. Actually, you have it in parenthesis over here, because that doesn't have to be only according to Rabbi Akiva. Everybody would agree you bring an Ashim Tolui at that point. I mean, it's a topic on an Issur Kares. It's not a question of Me'ilah. Now it's not a question of Me'ilah. It's a question of whether we eat Chayla.
Okay.
Again, Reb Shimon says that the two of them together can bring a chatas in partnership and make a tnai like before, that if I ate the chalev, then you give your part to me and vice versa. And again, Reb Yossi disagrees and says you can't make a tnai on a korban that's being brought for an avera, so therefore each one is bringing their own ashram tali.
You would say that for Suffolk.
Well, the Suffolk of Chalem, that's when an Ashim Tolui is brought.
He would say
each one needs their own Ashim Tolui. They can't bring one in partnership, and they can't bring a Chatas in partnership. Yeah. Okay. Another case, Chatichas Chalev and Chatichas Kodesh. If you have now one is a piece of Chalev, the other one is a piece of Kodshim, so now the Suffolk is, was he over on an Issur of Kodesh, or was he over on Me'ilah? So again, Ochal Achas Man Meni De Ezem Man Ochal. So he ate one of them. He doesn't know which one. Maybe Ashim Tolui. He's bringing an Ashim Tolui because he might have ate Chalev. Ochal, and according to Rabbi Akiva, the Paschus, he would have to bring one maybe for the Me'ilah as well. For the Me'ilah as well, because Rabbi Akiva holds, you bring an Ashim Tolui for Me'ilah, for Safik Me'ilah, right? Ochal Sashnia maybe Chatas for Ashim Vadei. If he ate the second one as well, he's bringing a Chatas because he definitely ate Chalev, and an Ashim Vadei because he definitely committed Me'ilah. Again, if it's two different people, one ate the first one, one ate the second one, then maybe Ashim Tolui, but then maybe Ashim Tolui. Each one has to bring an Ashim Tolui on the grounds that they might have eaten Chalev. And
the key for it is one guy eats both. Why is Ashim Tolui? Why is the Ashim Tolui?
There's no. In the previous case, he has Chatzichas Chelev and Chatzichas Kodesh. You're saying if he ate the second one, why is he? No, he's not bringing an Ashim Tolui. Maybe Chatzas Ashim Vadei. Did I say Tolui? No. Maybe Chatzas Ashim Vadei. He brings a Chatzas for the Chelev and an Ashim Vadei for the Mehila.
If he eats
the first one and then he eats the second one, so no matter what, however you look at it, he ate Chelev and he ate Kodesh. So therefore both, yeah. If one person ate one of them, and somebody else then came and ate the second one, so we don't know which one ate the chalev and which one ate the kodshim, then maybe Ashim Tolui, but then maybe Ashim Tolui. Each one is going to have to bring an Ashim Tolui. So now Rashi points out, here Rabbi Akiva is not going to require him two Ashamis Tolui. On the face of it, Rabbi Akiva should say, you have to bring one Ashim Tolui because he might have eaten chalev, and another one because he might have committed Me'ilah. But no, because no matter how you look at it, either the person ate Chalev or he did Me'ilah. There's no possibility that he did both because it's two different people. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is not going to make him bring two Ashram Etzloim. So each one's bringing an Ashram Tolui.
Each one.
What?
Is he just one part of the...
No, we're talking about each one, there were two Kazais. Yeah. Each one ate exactly Kazais. Yeah. So each one is bringing an Ashim Tolui because they might have eaten Chalev. Mm-hmm. According to Rabbi Akiva, that Ashim Tolui would also cover the possibility that they might have instead eaten the one that makes them Chayev Me'ilah. According to the Chachamim, that's not necessary, but either way, yeah. Reb Shimon Omer Shnei Mevim Chatas V'Asham. Again, Reb Shimon will say that they can bring a Chatas and an Asham and make a Tanai.
Yes.
They both pitch in for a Chatas, they both pitch in for an Asham. So if I ate Chalev and you ate Hekdesh, then I'm being Moichel my part in the Asham to you, and you be Moichel your part in the Chatas to me, and if vice versa, then vice versa. And again, Reb Yossi, I'm in Shnei Mevim Chatas V'Asham Echad. Reb Yossi says you can't have two people bring a Chatas and an Asham with a Tanai like that. Each one is going to have to bring their own Ashim Tolui.
Rabbi Akiva
says the same thing. Where Rabbi Akiva says each one brings an Ashim Tolui, we don't know whether Rabbi Shimon would, we don't know what Rabbi Akiva would hold about whether two people jointly can bring it. In the previous Mishnah, he argued with Rabbi Tarfon you can bring a korban al tanai, just in the case of a large meilah, it's not cost effective. But over here, okay, here we're talking about two people. So what would Rabbi Akiva say? I don't know. The Mishnah is not spelling out. The point is Rabbi Shimon holds, so maybe Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva in that regard, but maybe not. Rabbi Shimon at any rate is saying that Never mind the question of never mind the question of Mi'ilah. Let's say even we go like the Chachamim, whether we go like Rabbi Akiva, that you have to bring an Oshem Tali for Suffolk Mi'ilah. Whether we go like the Chachamim and you don't, either way, you have a Suffolk of Chelev over here. So for that reason alone, there's an Oshem Tali. But there's also for that reason alone, whoever did Me'ilah is going to be bringing an Asham. Whoever ate the Chalav is going to be bringing a Chatav. So Reb Shimon says, instead of each one bringing an Asham Talui, they'll both pitch in for a Chatav, they'll both pitch in for an Asham, and they'll make it tonight.
Which is something that Rabbi Akiva does.
Rabbi Akiva might hold of that, he might not. Why? Who says
that?
Didn't say. The mission doesn't mention it. And again, Rav Shimon, Rabbi Yossi says that doesn't work. And shnayim mevim chatas v'ashem echad. Two people cannot bring one chatas or one ashem together. Okay. Next, chatichas chelev v'chatichas chelev kodesh. Here was another scenario. There was a piece of regular chelev of chulin, and there was a piece of chelev from kodeshim. So let's consider, if he ate the regular chelev, then he's over on one issue of chelev. He's over on an issue of chatas. If he ate one of kodeshim, then he has a chatas and an ashem, a chatas and me'ila. Right. So we ate one of them, we don't know which one. Maybe chatas, so he brings a chatas. Here, Rabbi Akiva oima af oshem toli. Rabbi Akiva would say also an oshem toli because of the suffix me'ila. If he ate also the second one, maybe shnei chatois for oshem badei, then he's bringing two chatois plus an oshem badei. This everybody would agree to because there's one chatas for the one piece of chalev, another chatas for the other piece of chalev, which Shitum Kubetis points out. We have to be talking about where he ate the two pieces in two halemis. If he ate them all in one halem, then it's only one chatas anyway. But we're talking about he ate one, later on he ate the other one in another halem. So therefore two halemis, therefore two chatois plus an oshem because of the meal. One person ate the first one, another person came and ate the second one, then maybe chatas, then maybe chatas. Each one now has to bring a chatas. Each one has to bring a chatas, because definitely both of them ate chalev. Then maybe chatas. Each one definitely ate. No Oshem Tali, because they definitely ate. No, according to the Chachamim, there's no Oshem Tali. They definitely ate chalev. They might have done me'ilah, but so what? According to the Chachamim, there's no Oshem Tali for suffix me'ilah. Rabbi Akiva Oimer Zeb Zem Mevi and Oshem Tali. Rabbi Akiva, what?
I don't know where you are.
Okay. The line begins Rabbi Akiva, actually. The beginning of the line is Rabbi Akiva. It's about the middle of the narrow lines.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure where you are, actually. Here, Rabbi Akiva. We're all the way up to this. Okay, Rabbi Akiva omer zeb zeb mevim oshem tali. Rabbi Akiva says both of them are going to have to bring an oshem tali because again he holds oshem tali for suffik me'ila. Here the suffik me'ila because either one of them might have eaten the one that was from kodshim. Reb Shimon omer zeb mevi chatas zeb mevi chatas. Reb Shimon says fine, each one has to bring their own chatas. No tnai or anything over there because there's no question each one ate chalev. Ushneim mevim oshem echad, but the two of them together can bring one oshem and make a tnai for the me'ila. And again, Rabbi Yossi, I'm Enshnei and Mavi and Oshem Echad. Rabbi Yossi says you can't do that. So either, again, the Chachamim would, Rabbi Yossi would say, depends. Do you follow the Chachamim? Do you follow Rabbi Akiva? If you follow the Chachamim, there's no Oshem because it's only a Sopik Me'ilah. If you go like Rabbi Akiva, it's an Oshem Tali for each one.
Right.
Yeah.
Why can't each one for the
Sopik? We're going to see in the Gemara why Rabbi Yossi says.
Why he has to follow one of the Shudinas? He could have eaten the other
thing. Okay, but he's saying, whatever. The point is, you only have two possibilities, right? You only have two possibilities. Do you bring an Oshem for Sopik Me'ilah or not? There's no third gram.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay.
What type of kodesh are we talking about,
though? Any kind of kodeshim. We're talking about the pashtos that the person himself is allowed to eat from this korban. Let's say he's not a zor. Let's say we're talking about he's a kohen, so we don't have to deal with the issue of zor. No, it doesn't matter. I mean, the point is most of the chaylev was burnt on the mizbeach, and
later,
one piece.
Later on, the Gemara sounds like that's good nicer because we're talking about it.
That's okay. Well, that's true. Okay, so we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Okay. It could be, yeah.
But it's not
necessary. Well, no, because at the end of the Mishnah, we're going to have, no, because later on, we're going to have, wait. Okay. Wait. Okay. Okay. So actually, that's the next case now. Chatichas chelev v'chatichas chelev noiser. That's the case then. So now you have one piece of chelev was plain chelev from Poland. The other piece was chelev, which was noiser as well. So now, let's go through the possibilities. Ochel achas mehen, but any day is mehen. Yeah, because even
it still has
meila, yeah, because it still belongs to Hekdesh. Yeah.
Well,
so actually, there's the idea. It's not supposed to because it's noiser, but after all, it's one of those things. In olo lo yeir, and if you put it on the mizbeach, you don't take it off, and therefore, so it still has meila. Right. Okay.
Right.
Which actually the Gemara is going to take up that point and see whether, in general, in order to be higher from Me'ilah, which we're going to learn in Me'ilah, the next Masechta, we're going to talk about it, usually you need to be, that what the person ate was a Shava Prota. We're going to discuss in the Gemara, is a Kezayis of a Chelev of Noiser even worth Shava Prota? So we'll get to that. Anyway. Okay, so chatichas chelav chatichas chelav noiser. Ochol achas man v'eni de ezem en ochol. Again, he ate one of them, he doesn't know which one. Maybe chatas for osham tolui, so he's bringing a chatas for the chelav that he definitely ate, and an osham tolui for the fact that he may have been over on noiser. No, it's not, well, he knows that he ate chelav.
Yeah.
He doesn't know whether he was over on noiser. Forget me. He ate one of them.
Right.
He ate one of them, but he doesn't know whether he was over on noiser as well. So therefore, he has to bring an osham tolui for the noiser, and a chatas for the chelav. Maybe gimel chatois. If he ate the second one as well, he's bringing three chatois. One for each piece of chelav, again, because it was shnei ha'lamis, and one for noisa.
Right.
If one person ate one of them and the other person ate the other one, so now each one knows that he ate chelav, but each one has a suffix whether he ate noisa. Then maybe chatas v'ashem tolui, then maybe chatas v'ashem tolui. Each one then has to bring a chatas plus an ashem tolui.
For the noisa.
Reb Shimon, right. Reb Shimon says again, the two of them bring, each one brings their own chatas, because each one of them ate chelev, and the two of them together bring one chatas, and they make a tnai regarding the noiser. If I ate the noiser, then you give your portion to me, and vice versa. Reb Yossi Yomer, again, Reb Yossi says, kol chatas sheba achet, the general rule is, he says, any chatas, or osham for that matter, that's being brought for an avera, two people cannot bring it jointly. Now, when it comes to when it's not brought for a chet, we had Rabbi Yossi himself, we learned in 1 second. In the first parak, we had Rabbi Yossi himself saying that when it's not being brought for a chet, we had the case over there where we had two women where we're not sure which one gave birth to something that makes a chayev and a korban and which one not. Rabbi Yossi said that in certain cases, you could have the two of them could bring one korban jointly and make a tnas.
Because
there was no chet involved, but Rabbi Yossi says when there's a chet, then not. Which we'll see here. Right. Okay.
Nice.
Right. So the Gemara starts, what?
Nice.
And well, yeah, the Mishnayos is divided into like four or five, or like divided into four or five Mishnayos. Yeah. Yeah. It's often the case, you know, you have a bunch of Mishnayos jammed together in the Gemara. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. I'm going to rob a lot of Nachman. Lurab Yossi, chakasu de la maisu shneen ha'oshem tolu maisu shneen. Are you telling me that according to Rab Yossi, two people can't bring a chakas jointly? Because he's saying at the end of the Mishnah, he's saying that any chatas that comes for a chet, you can't have two people bring them together. Ha'oshem tolui ma'aser shneim. Does that mean that Rabbi Yossi would say that two people can bring an oshem tolui jointly? And, well, hainu tanakama. In that case, isn't he saying exactly the same thing as the tanakama? Well, the Tanakhama had said that we had the cases in the Mishnah. We had where the first case, let's say, where you had a piece of chelav and a piece of cholin, where we said that if one eats one and one eats the other one, so Rabbi Yossi says en shnayim avim oshem echa. So we said two people don't bring an oshem together. In the last case in the Mishnah, we're saying each one brings a chatas, and then we have the question of the Oshem Tolui. So the Tanakhama is saying each one brings a chatas and an Oshem Tolui, and Rabbi Yossi is saying any chatas that comes for a chet, two people can't bring jointly. It sounds like he would say that as far as the Oshem Tolui, they can bring one together. But then in that case, it comes out that it comes out that they're the same as the Tanakhama. You're going to argue that maybe the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi are arguing about whether do you require, as we learned in the previous parak, do you have to have two pieces in front of you in order to have the suffix, or is it enough that you have one piece and the piece itself, you're not sure if it was chelav or not? We learn in a braisa that no, Rabbi Yossi clearly says each one brings an Oshem Tolui. So he's not just talking about a chatas. Amalei, Rav Nachman answers, Hakamash Malon, yes, what the Mishnah wants to inform us, the Man Tanakama Rav Yossi. You should know who is the Tanakama in our Mishnah is Rav Yossi. So in other words, so you start out with Rav Yossi's opinion, and then later on, as we go through the Mishnah, each time we're explaining what Rav Yossi's opinion is. That each time he says that two people don't bring a chatas achas. So in other words, even though each time he says ein shnayim avim chatas achas, he doesn't mean only a chatas, he means also an oshan. Also an oshan tolu. He is the Tanakama.
Tanakama.
Yeah.
So there's no contradiction.
So no contradiction. Okay.
Who says that?
That's the Gemara thing. Okay. Then we said Chatichas Chela v'Chatichas Kodesh. We said if you have a case, we have the various cases in our Mishnah, one where there was a piece of Chela and a piece of Kodesh, a piece of Chatichas Chela v'Chatichas Chela of Kodesh, a piece of Chela and a piece of Chela from Kodesh, and the last case was Chatichas Chela v'Chatichas Chela of Noisah. We had there was a piece of plain Chela and a piece of Chela of Noisah. And we had, so what did we say in the Mishnah? That we, Chela, one was Chela, no, but we're going to focus on the last one. We're going to focus on the last one, Chelev and Chelev Noisa. So because we said over there that the person is going to be bringing a Chatas for the Chelev, an Oshem Toloi for the possible Noisa, and if he ate both of them, then he's bringing three Chatas, one for each piece of Chelev and one for Noisa. Amalei Ravelar of Nachman, the Leisi Nami Oshem Vade. Why shouldn't he have to bring an Oshem Vade for the Mila as well, the Noisa to Kodeshu? Because after all, Noisa belongs to Hekdesh.
Leisei Nami, he shouldn't bring also.
The Leisei means let him bring.
Right.
It's for the Shodesh is also, which means to come or to bring.
Mm-hmm.
So the Leisei Nami, he should have to bring also. Oshem Vade, the Noisa to Kodeshu, because after all, Noisa belongs to Kodesh, so therefore he also committed Mila. Amalei, Rav Nachman answers, the less base Shavu Prota. We're talking about the Chelev that he ate
question.
Was less than a Shavu Prota.
Okay.
So the question is, Vahama Ikra the Isbe Shavu Prota Askinan. Why? Earlier in the Mishnah, we were obviously talking about where it is a Shavu Prota, Dikatoni Oshem Vade, because in the previous cases in the Mishnah, we mentioned that he has to bring an Oshem Vade from Eli. Yes, so Amalei. He says, the difference is, Ahi Chaticha Deloi Noiser. The difference is, before we were talking about pieces of a korban that were not Noiser, Shavya Pruta, which are worth a Pruta. In other words, practically speaking, what is Noiser? It's a korban that was left over beyond the time, or in this case, the Chelev, was left over beyond the time that it's supposed to. So it starts spoiling already. So for that reason alone. A shlomim, we have 2 days, most of a shlomim, we have 2 days and a night in between many certain other korban, most of b'chor and mice, so also most other korbanos, you have 1 day and you have 1 day and the following night, whatever. Once it has gone past that time, you know, they never refrigerators in those days, so after that, meat. Okay, no, the fact remains, practically speaking, there's not just noiser, there's the actual iser, but there's also the practical fact that noiser is not worth very much because it's not worth very much because it's not fresh. So therefore, so therefore, it's more logical that noiser would be talking about where it's not a shavah kruta. So the question is, what about we had in a previous perek in our Masechta, we had the case where in the third perek where we had a person can be eating one kezayis and be chayav multiple chatois for it. We have the case over there where it was Yom Kippur and it was noiser and it was nevela, etc., etc. And the Chatoni Be Noiser, one of the cases we mentioned over there is Noiser, one of the Chatois that he's higher for is Noiser, the Chatonim Avi Abba Chatois for Oshem Echad. And we say he winds up having to bring four Chatois plus one Oshem for the Mila. So the question is, obviously there, we're talking about Noiser, because that's the case, and we're saying you have to bring an Asham Me'ilas. Why? If you're telling me that Noiser is usually not worth a Shavu Prota, that a Kazayas of Noiser is usually not.
Never worth a Shavu Prota.
Okay, the point is, in our Mishnah, we should be consistent. If in that Mishnah we're saying it's possible for a person to eat a kezayis of chelev, of noiser, et cetera, and be chayev, among others, for an asham milas, then the same thing in our case, where you have two kezayisim, of which one is plain chelev and the other one is chelev of noiser, if he ate the one that was noiser, he should have to bring an asham milas. Same thing, because we should assume it's worth a prota, just like we assume over there. Why over there are we assuming it's worth a prota and here not? Amalei hahibe gasa. He says the difference is they were talking about a behemoth. Right. Rashi explains it. Well, no. Rashi explains that no. Gasa means achila gasa.
Oh,
achila gasa, Rashi explains. There are Mephoshim who explain that it means, Rabbeinu Gershom explains over here it means gasa versus dasa. So the behemoth gasa versus behemoth dasa. So it's worth more. Hahi begaya. So it's worth more because it doesn't spoil as easily. Right. Bahi bedaka, and then there it's and so the one is talking about a large animal and the other one is talking about a small animal. So one, no, in both cases you're talking about kezayis, but in one case it doesn't spoil as easily. It's got more chashivus, therefore it's likely to be still worth a prota. Rashi though doesn't explain like that. Rashi explains gasa means achila gasa, that we're talking about in our Mishnah. We're talking about where he overate, so therefore there is an isur hana, but. So therefore you can't say that he had hana of a shavu prota because he doesn't have hana from achila gasa. It's overeating.
What do you mean he didn't have? Of course he had hana.
No, So therefore, so you have, in other words, there is, so he is over on the issur of chelev and on the issur of noiser, because for that it doesn't matter. Even we learned a few days ago that even if he's in the tzaftik, even if he's just casually playing around or whatever and accidentally swallows it, then he's still chayev, because after all there is hanah. But when it comes to me'ilah, there's less hanah from achila gasa. Actually, there are Tosfos in a few places draws a distinction between two uses of achila gasa in the Gemara. Sometimes achila gasa means like a person has overeaten, but they're still able to eat. Like, you know, they're still full. You know, you're not necessarily looking for food or whatever, but they can still make food. Yeah. As opposed to there's a kind of achila gasa Tosfos describes, which just costs them a zone. Like the person can't even stand the sight of food anymore. He ate so much. So the pastors we're talking about. Right, but the pastures we're talking about the second kind over here. So he has no hanah from it. And me'ilah is primarily about the hanah.
He ate something else first. He ate a lot of
first, and then he came and ate this. Exactly. Exactly. Right. So therefore, you don't have me'ilah, but you do have the issue of chaylev and of noisa.
Because me'ilah, you have to have hanah.
Right. Okay. And the loy kasha, and furthermore, or yinami, it says on the bottom, or another possibility, you could say ahibi, moisak shomim, hachav moisachama. That Mishnah could be talking about during the winter when the meat doesn't spoil as rapidly. So even noiser can still be fresh enough to be worth a prota. Our Mishnah, we'll be talking about during the summer where it spoils more rapidly and therefore it's not worth a shavu prota.
But if it's, we're talking about the Mishnah, when it's in winter, you should have more hanah.
It's a different answer. We're not dealing with the matter of hanah anymore. Now we're dealing with, is it worth a shavu prota? Is it objectively worth a shavu prota? If it's in the winter, a piece of chaylev of noiser is likely to still be worth a prota, because it's still, right, as opposed to over here, we're talking about in the summer, where by the time it's noiser, it's already disgusting. And yeah. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, we have the case where one person ate one of, again, in the case of the chaylev and the chaylev noiser, one person ate one of them, the other one ate the other one. So we said that each one brings a chatas plus an asham talui. And then we had Reb Shimon says that they both, each one brings their own chatas, and then they jointly bring a chatas and make a tonight. Let's focus on that. Amalei Rav Reb Nachman, Umi Amar Reb Shimon Isur Chalal Isur. Are you telling me that Reb Shimon holds that one Isur, for example, the Isur of Noiser, is able to be Chal on the Isur of Chaylev? It was already also as Chaylev, according to Reb Shimon. According to Reb Shimon, in general, Isur is not Chal on Isur. Now, Tosfos discusses that we're going to bring an example of it. But Tosfos has a long discussion over here that we could have argued over here, maybe because it's an Isser Moisif, so maybe it would be different. But okay, you have the Gemara assumes that based on other Gemaras in Yevamos and in other places that Reb Shimon across the board says Ein Isser Chalal Isser. So, Vahatani, we learn in a Braisa, Reb Shimon Eimer, Ha'oichel Nevela B'Yemek Kippurim Potter. If a person eats nevela on Yom Kippur, he's chayev for the issur of nevela, but he's potter for Yom Kippur. The issur of Yom Kippur is not able to be chal on the issur of nevela. And in fact, Rashi says, Rashi explains, even if it doesn't matter, Rashi says, whether the animal was shechted, or not shechted, whether it died before Yom Kippur or afterwards, because if it was before Yom Kippur, then the Issur and Nevela came first. But even if it died on Yom Kippur, it was still also before Yom Kippur on the grounds of Eivor Menachai. And Reb Shimon would say, therefore, the Issur of Yom Kippur has no room to be chal. With that said, though, Tosfos in some other places disagrees with Rashi on that, and says we have to be talking about where it was Nevela before Yom Kippur. Maybe if it became nevela on Yom Kippur, then, then fine. Reb Shimon would agree that it could be chal because Yom Kippur came first. But yeah, okay. Anyway,
but in general,
okay. So the answer is Amar of Sheshes, Breidir of Idi. The case of our Mishnah is Kugenda Ocho Kulya B'Chalava. The case is over here B'Chelva. The case is over here that he ate the kidney with the fat surrounding it. So it's not Isur Chalal Isur. There's two different things. The kidney is Noiser. The Chelav is Chelav. Okay, so the question is the kulya b'chelva nami. So okay, even if he ate the kidney with the fat around it, hakoya lebi isur oilin. You have an isur that is supposed to, the kidney is one of the parts of the korban that's supposed to the isur oilin, the isur of that it's supposed to go on the mezbeach. It's not supposed to be eaten by people. The kidneys are one of the parts that the pasuk mentions over and over is supposed to go on the mezbeach. So again, the question is, hechi also isur noiser chayalala. So how would the isur of noiser be chal on the kidney when the kidney was anyway also because part of the emorim?
Or maybe he ate it instead of leaving it on his
bed. Well, how does the isur come on him that he should be chayav for noiser if it was already off limits to him because it had to go on the mizbeach in the first place? You're going to argue that maybe Reb Shimon would hold that Noiser is a stronger Isser. Maybe he would hold a stronger Isser is able to be Chal on top of a weaker Isser. And therefore, V'chayal Isser Chal de Erlin. So you would argue, therefore, that the Isser of Noiser, which is a stronger Isser because there's an Isser Kares in it, should be Oyla, should be stronger than the Isser of Erlin, which is only an Isser Lav. So no, v'han nevela de iser kalu v'yem kippurim de iser chamuru. But we said before, we said Reb Shimon would say that a person ate nevela on Yom Kippur, he's potter for Yom Kippur, even though nevela is an iser kalu because it's only an iser lav, and Yom Kippur is an iser kares, and he's still saying that Yom Kippur is not chal. Like kalsi iser yom kippurim de chamur v'chayel on nevela de kalu. So even chamur and kalu, Reb Shimon doesn't accept that.
They don't add up.
Right. Ella, no, we have to say like this: v'kodshim gali rachmana de osi iser chalav iser. When it comes to Kodshim, you have a special thing that we have a pasuk that tells us that Isu Chal al Isu. So even if Reb Shimon says in general, for example, Nevela and Yom Kippur, he'll have to agree on Kodshim that Isu is Chal al Isu. Therefore, the Isu of Nevela is able to be Chal on the, therefore the Isu of Nevela, of Noiser, is able to be Chal on the Isu of Chalev. And now we don't need any more to say that we're talking about the kidney. Now we can say we're talking about,
anything.
Yeah.
We
had it actually in Cholin. We had a Sylvia about it in Cholin. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says Asher Lashem. The Pasuk says if a person eats the parts of the korban that if a person eats the chaylev, which is supposed to be brought to Hashem, Asher Lashem, that is for Hashem. L'rabba to say Emurin, that comes to include the Emurin, which includes the kidneys. The Emurin Kori Alayu Beisur Olin. Now, so you have the Emurim in general, including the kidneys and including the Chelev. You have the Isser of anything that's supposed to be offered on the Mizbeach is off limits to people. The Chelev Kori Alai, which is an Isser Lav. The Chelev Kori Alai of the Isser Koris. Chelev, meanwhile, is an Isser Koris. Because of the Isser Tuma, Chayel Alai. And then you have, on top of that, actually, the Pasuk Asher Lashem is talking about when a Tomei eats Kodshim. That we're saying that the not only if a Tomei eats the meat of the Kodshim, is he Chayev Koris, but also if he eats the Emurim. So the Emurim, you already have, it depends. If we're talking about the kidneys, then there's a lav on them, the Isser Oilin. If we're talking about the Chelev, then there's already an Isser Karis. Either way, the Isser Tumah is able to come and be Chal on top of the Isser of Oilin or the Isser of Chelev. So there we see that Reb Shimon holds that based on that, that even that with Kodshim, you do have Isser Chal al Isser.
So here we would have Isser on which kind of Isser?
Well, so here we're talking about in our Mishnah. We had, there was Chelev of Noiser, and even though it was already Osir as Chelev, on the grounds that it's Chelev, nevertheless, it can also become Osir again as Noiser.
And you would say,
and he would say that it doesn't. Right. In fact, you can prove that that's the case. The Rebbe Svirle Isser Chal al Isser. After all, we know that Rebbe holds in general that one Isser is Chal on an Isser. But Rebbe says that's only true of a stronger Isser can be Chal on top of a weaker Isser. But it's the other way around. If the Isser Chomer came first and then an Isser Chal comes, Rebbe does not hold that it adds up. Rashi explains that, Rashi says, I don't know where we get that from. Where do we see that? Where do we see that Rebbe has such an opinion?
That
the order counts. Shittim Kubetis brings from a collection of Tosfos, from Tosfos Arosh, and from a different collection of Tosfos, that there's a Gemara in Kiddushin about it. You have a case over there. You have a case over there involving a Kohen Gadol has relations with a sister who is an Almana. Is he chayev for the Isser of Almana? She was already also to him as a sister, that which is an Isser Kores. Almana is also to a Kohen Gadol as an Isser Lav. So is the Isser Chal on the Isser Chomer? So we say over there that no, that an Isser Chal is not Chal on an Isser Chomer, and we don't find any Tanna who says to the contrary. So therefore, we can assume that Rebbe would agree with that.
But one second, but this, over there, we said a cow is not on a chamor, but a chamor on a cow.
But here we're talking about Rebbe, so we're saying like this. Rebbe holds that the order matters. If you have the Isser cow first and then the Isser chamor, it works. But the other way around, it doesn't work. But then we see that Rebbe still says when it comes to Kodshim that it's not like that. He says an Isser Kal is able to be Chal on top of an Isser Chom.
So what is it?
Well, now, the point is Rebbe would say there's a difference between Kodshim and everything else. The point is, therefore, we can assume Reb Shimon would also make the same distinction. Rebbe would say that you do have Isser Chomer can be on top of Isser Kal everywhere in Torah. And when it comes to Kodshim, even Kal on Chomer. Rav Shimon would be more makel. Rav Shimon would say in isu halal isu at all outside of kodshim, but within kodshim at least he has to say that. I said isu chomer is halal and isu kal. So he's one step below Rebbe.
And who says the kalam and on a chomer?
No, well Rebbe would say that. Fine, Rav Shimon can disagree, but fine. Here we're talking about chomer being on a kal. Okay. Isu me'ila kalhu, because after all, we see that isu me'ila is considered a lighter isu relative to an isu karis, hu misa, because as we said before, Rebbe holds that a person commits me'ila b'mezid is chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. The isu kodshim isu chomer karis, whereas the isu of eating, the isu of eating kodshim when a person is tamei is an isu karis. And the Asi Isur Misa Chayal Isur Karis, and we still see that Rebbe holds that the Isur of Meila, which is Misa, is able to be Chal on top of the Isur of Karis. So we see that, even though it's a lighter Isur. The Tanya, as we learn in a bright, the Rebbe Yemer Kol Chelav Hashem. When the pasuk says all Chelav goes to Hashem, so we're not talking about Tomei eating Kodshim, we're talking about eating Chelav of Kodshim. L'Rabbis Emurik Kodshim Kalam L'Meila. The words Kol Chelav, all Chelav to Hashem, means it belongs to Hashem in the sense that Meila applies to it. So therefore, in other words, it means that Meila applies to Emurik Kodshim Kalam L'Meila. So Emurik Kodshim Kalam are subject to Meila, so the Chelav of them, even though they were also as an Isur Chomer already, being Chelav, nevertheless, the Isur of Me'ila can still apply to them, which is an Isur Kal. So you see that Rebbe holds, when it comes to Kodshim, a Kal can be Kal on top of a Chomer. Therefore, that's justification enough to say that even that Rav Shimon, who holds in general an Isur, Kal al Isur at all, he will say with Kodshim, okay, we can at least allow a Chomer to be on top of a Kal.
If we see that Rebbe
is willing to accept that there's an exception in Kodshim, then we can assume Reb Shimon would also make a similar, because we can assume that there's a similar logic. That's a similar logic. Kodshim have rules of their own. But what we're going to see actually in a second. Okay. So therefore, so Me'ila Isu Misa. So again, Me'ila is an Isu Misa. The Kochayim al Isu Chelev, the Isu Karisu. It's coming and being Chal on top of the Isu Chelev, which is an Isu Karis. Shmamina, the Kodshim Gali Kro. Therefore, we see from that that by Kodshim, the Torah is telling us from the words Kol Chelev, that it means, Kol Chelev Lashem, that it means that Isu Kal can be on Isu Chomer. So by the same token, Reb Shimon can say at least an Isu Chomer can be on an Isu Kal in Kodshim. So the question is, v'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, Reb Shimon Omer, ein pigul ba'olin v'ein nois ba'olin. No, we see that not. Reb Shimon says that even the isur chomer of pigul is not able to be chal on the things that are supposed to be offered on the mizbeach, and similarly the isur chomer of noiser. So you have something, the kidneys, or the...
Noiser.
No, not pigul. No, pigul and noiser come from different animals, but we're talking about, in other words, if you have oilin, you have the parts of the korban that are supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach, Reb Shimon would say, if a person ate from them when they were noisil, or a person ate from them when they were pigle, he would only be chayiv the lab for oil, and he wouldn't be chayiv karis for eating pigle or noisil. So we see, therefore, that even an isur chomer, according to him, in kodshim, is not chal on an isur kal. So we're back to the question, we say it for pigle and we say it for noisil, which are both an isur chomer. Therefore, logically, we would also say, therefore, that noiser cannot be chal on chelev, because that's what he's saying. It's not chal on olim. Right. So how in our Mishnah is he saying it is?
Right.
So the answer is ela tanoi. It's actually a machlokas tanoim. Val libedit Reb Shimon. There's a machlokas tanoim within what Reb Shimon says. The ikad ami b'kodshim isu chal al isu. The ikad ami b'kodshim nami ein isu chal al isu. Okay, you have different opinions whether it is. So the question is, okay, so if you say ein isur chal al isur, what are you doing with kol chelav l'Hashem, which we just said means that isur, that isur me'ila goes on. Yes. The answer is, he will explain, give us about 30 seconds, he will explain, it's talking about vlodeis of kodshim, babies of kodshim, that they're kodish already in the womb, the kasavri vlodei kodshim b'avayosim yukodshim, and therefore the tauvayu b'hadadi osu. Therefore, the isur on the baby comes at the same time. In other words, you have two isurim that come at the same time. Even he is going to say that two isurim can come at the same time. But just for vlodei kodshim, because they're already kodesh in the womb. So therefore, the Tumas Negufa comes in. Okay. Pattern off Dam Shechel.